For more information on this topic or on the subject of disciple making in general, look us up online at browntogreen.org or send us an email directly at podcast@browntogreen.org. Thanks for listening.
You're listening to The Great Awakening, a disciple making podcast brought to you by Brown to Green on the Stream Grace Network.
Hey guys, welcome. Hope everyone's doing well. Lauren is joining me. Hi, Lauren.
Oh, yeah, I'm here. I'm like in La La Land over here. Yeah. Just, Lori's talking.
Yeah. So. Hey, if you guys like us, and like I always say, even if you don't like
even
us,
if you don't.
Yeah, go like us on Facebook. Just do us a favor and do that. It's Brown to Green on Facebook. And you can also look up more information about us on our website, browntogreen.org. And then follow us on all the podcast listening platforms.
Yes.
The Spotify and the Apple Podcasts. All the things. There's like a bazillion probably, and those are the only two I know.
Even if you only follow so you can make fun of the things we say, that's okay.
Exactly.
I'm fine with that.
In fact, if you will call me and tell me the funny things I say, it would be flattering to me.
Don't call me.
Okay, yeah. Don't call Lauren. Only call me. Hey, so today our guest is Mrs. Janice Manlove. Welcome, Janice.
Thank you so much. I'm honored and privileged and humbled to be here today.
How are you today?
I'm doing fine. Thank you.
Yes. So let's start with, tell us a little bit about you.
Okay, well, I grew up in a small farming community out in the country. I'm the country girl.
In Oklahoma?
No, in Texas.
Oh, cool.
I'm really a Texan at heart, just transplanted to Oklahoma because of grandchildren.
Yeah, that happens.
Yeah, it does. I grew up on a farm, have a younger brother, and we had fun doing all the farm type things, including chopping cotton and doing those types of things, playing with horned toads, just a good time. My mother was a very devout Christian, and so we went to church often, like Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night.
Wow.
And so I got a really good basic Bible knowledge from my growing up times. Progressing on, I went to a Christian school. I went to Abilene Christian when I graduated from high school, and then transferred to Harding University, all part of God's plan, because that's where I met my wonderful hubby. And I majored in home economics, and which
is that even a college major these days?
Probably not. I don't think they even have it in school anymore.
They do have it in school.
Yeah, but it's only
Addison's
like a certain
it's more of a vocational section type
of a whole class, isn't it?
Yeah, like they change them throughout the year, each semester. Mm-hmm. So for one semester she gets to have home.
Like they get to learn to cook and sew. Yeah.
They're
and all
watching
the fun things.
Documentaries on health right now, so it's still around.
Huh, that's cool.
Well, that's good. I'm glad to hear that. I had the privilege of teaching that for just like 4 years part-time at a Christian school in Arkansas, and I loved it. It was lots of fun. But anyway, I met my husband at Harding University, and we it was a sweet little story. I don't know how much detail you want me to go into.
Hey, you just tell us. This is the Janice hour.
Yep, all right. Well, back then we had an open house, our dormitory did, and so the men got to come over. That wasn't usually acceptable, but they got to come over and see the girls' rooms. And
so it was a co-ed college.
Yes.
It just had girls' dorms and
boys'
dorms.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay.
And he came over, and I had a rubber tree plan. He said, I have one too. And so we had some common things in place to start with. He went back to his dorm, and a few days later he called and asked me how my rubber tree plant was and how much to water it and all this kind of stuff. And I didn't really give it much mind, but then this was close to Valentine's Day, and I got a Valentine's card in my post office box from your secret admirer. I had no idea who it was. It was my sweet husband, and we started dating in February and got married in December. Now, I was 20, and back then, 20-year-olds, girls were considered of age. Men were not. So his dad actually had to sign for him in order for us to marry.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, he did. So we've been married about a year and a half, and gave birth to twin boys, which was an awesome experience. Darren and Brian were born on Easter Sunday.
Oh, wow.
And I might go back and say, you know, something kind of unique about our family is my birthday's on April the 1st, which is April Fool's. Of course, everybody remembers my birthday.
Of course.
And my husband's birthday is February the 29th, so he's really, really young.
He is special.
Only like 18 and a half.
Right.
So anyway, and our twins were born on March the 29th, which was Easter Sunday. From there, I did a lot of substitute teaching. I had another son about 2.5 years later, and then a baby girl 2.5 years after that. While the kids were young, I did a lot of substitute teaching, and the Lord always blessed us with another young mom that would be close, that I got to be friends with, and we would switch out. Like, she'd teach, substitute 2 days a week, and I would substitute two, and we'd switch out watching kids.
Oh, wow.
That worked out just super good. It worked out really great. Then we did a lot of moving around, it seemed like, when our kids were little. But whenever Laura, our youngest, was like in starting second grade, we moved back to my hometown, Vernon, Texas, and stayed there for like 22 years.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
During that time, before we moved back to Vernon, about the time that Laura was actually born, my husband enrolled in preaching school, and he went through 2 years of preaching school. From there, we moved to Oakley, Kansas, which is a little town out in the middle of nowhere, and you have to look really hard to even see a tree. I cried because I did not want to move to Oakley, Kansas, in the middle of nowhere. It was a town of about 1,200, and the nearest town was 90 miles away. That was big, and it was 15,000. So I'm telling you, it was in the middle of nowhere.
Which is still small.
Yes. Yeah. I loved living there. It was just like a big, happy family. You got to know
everybody.
So you
thought you were going to hate it.
Yeah.
And you ended up loving it.
All part of the Lord's plan.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's how he does it.
Yeah.
He's like, let me show you, Miss Janice.
Absolutely. So while we were in Vernon, I ended up securing a teaching position at a drug adolescent center that was real close to where we lived. And that was a wonderful experience, too. I was there for 1 year. The kids that I worked with just took my heart. I took them home with me, you know, in my heart every evening.
I don't know how you couldn't.
I was there for only a year, and they lost funding, and I was moved into a elementary school in Vernon where I taught 4th and 5th grade special education classes, which I enjoyed that as well. And then from there, I went back to school and I became an educational diagnostician, where I assess children that might need extra help because of learning disabilities, etc.
That's awesome.
And then I decided I wanted to get into management and went back to school again. In fact, I didn't finish school till I was 50 years old. And everybody said, well, you might as well go ahead and get your doctorate. And I said, I am done. So with that mid-management certification, I actually secured a job as an elementary principal for a 2nd and 3rd grade campus.
Had you guys moved to Oklahoma at this point?
No, we were still in Texas. Okay. Still in Texas. But that was a really good experience. The little 2nd and 3rd graders, they'd already been in school long enough that they should know the rules. Maybe not so much, but they should have. They've at least been exposed.
They still like to test boundaries. Yeah, yeah.
And they were still young enough that they loved hugs from the principal, or just a pencil from the principal's office was awesome.
Yes. Yeah.
It still is.
Yeah.
Just FYI.
So I retired from there, and that's when we moved to Hare, Oklahoma. And we moved here because my daughter lived here, and she was she had her first son, who was about 3 years old. And it's about 2.5 hours from Vernon to Oklahoma City, and we were keeping the road hot. We couldn't go more than 2 weeks without seeing Scott. So we decided we might as well just move here. She was expecting her second little boy. So Harrison was born on June the 3rd, and we moved here on June the 23rd. And so that kind of brings us pretty close up to today. We were searching my background. I'm just doing all the talking. Do y'all need to
listen? No, that's the way it's supposed to be. Lauren and I talk plenty, I promise.
Oh, yeah.
I grew up in a really conservative church background, and really had a hard time believing that I was actually saved. I was baptized when I was 12 years old, and I do believe that Jesus Christ became my Savior. And that was such a burden off of me, but I still kept feeling that I just wasn't good enough. That, you know, in fact, I actually had the idea that if I were to die, that I would just pray that I would have enough time to say, forgive me of my sins, because I just felt like there was just...
like there's still something more that you needed to do to get there. Wow.
So when we moved here, I mean, I had overcome a part of that already. My husband was wonderful about being a spiritual leader and teaching me more about grace and...
Praise the Lord for him.
Confidence and salvation. But we moved here mostly out of convenience. Did we start going to Hera Church? And it was just it's been wonderful. It's been a whole new lease on my life, on what it means to be a Christ follower, of what it means to make Jesus your Lord. So
that's interesting that you say out of convenience, because I actually was driving to the church yesterday, and I was driving down 15th, and I passed the entrance to your subdivision, and I'm like, I wonder how Janice and Richard found their way to Herod Church.
Well, I'm telling you, it was the Lord leading us here. But when we moved here, you know, as I said, Harrison, Laura's little boy, was just like 3 weeks old. And we were trying to go to this church that I grew up in. There was one that was a little more liberal all the way over in Edmond. Mm-hmm. So we started out one morning with Laura and I. My husband was still working. He had to work some on Sunday. So it was Laura and I, Scott, and Harrison. And Harrison was just screaming his head off, crying. Mm-hmm. We couldn't get him quiet.
He's an itty-bitty baby,
he
right?
He was an itty-bitty baby. And Laura said, Mom, this is just not working. Mm-hmm. So we started looking for something closer around, and the Lord just led us to Herod Church.
Well,
so,
yeah, I'm glad he did.
Yeah, me too.
I'm glad he did. You know, you and Richard are one of the first couples. You're married, so I consider you one people.
Yes.
But that Travis and I met when we came into Herod Church.
No, I think it was the same for us because of
Wera.
Well, I think it was because of Wera. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because Michael went to Uganda when we
pretty
first
early on. Yeah, mm-hmm. He did.
Yeah, our first day there.
Yeah, we came. Our first day there was in November of 2011. And Travis wore a suit and tie, and I wore a fancy dress. And everyone looks at us like we're weirdos. Everyone knows we're the new people. But that was the one and only time that I recall since then that the people from Hope Chest were on stage.
Awesome.
And they were doing like a question and answer and you know, and I'll be honest, when we left, I told Travis, I'm like, see, they just want more money.
Oh.
Like that was my attitude.
That's so funny.
But you know, I didn't grow up in church. And so that was my, I already had that whole attitude of Western church. They just always want your money. And you know,
it's not an uncommon thought.
I know.
It's interesting, you know, with the connection with Michael going to Uganda. And then we had y'all go, remember, to the international conference.
That's so funny. You remember
international conference in Colorado Springs for Hope Chest. Yeah.
I was just thinking about that trip up there, and I don't know if we ever talked to you and Richard about driving up there. We drove through a snowstorm.
Yes, you
like
yes,
a blizzard. Mm-hmm. And we were already headed up there through the Oklahoma Panhandle, like through the Texas Panhandle, then Oklahoma Panhandle, and then Southeast Colorado. And the blizzard came on so quickly that the highway, it was like a two-lane highway, got north-south, got shut down north of us and south of us. But we're in the middle of it. And the snow was so high, you couldn't see the fences.
I bet that was really close to Oakley, Kansas.
It probably was.
Did you see any trees?
No. All I saw was, I was like this. If you guys could see my face, like this grimace. And it was the most stressful drive of my entire life because after we got out of the snowstorm, it was an ice storm.
Oh, geez.
So
oh,
when we goodness. Roll into Colorado Springs, it's like the ice everywhere. Oh, of course, goodness. You know, and those Coloradians, they're like, well, hey, this is normal stuff.
They probably
like,
had chains on their tires.
Yes, yes. But I could not wait to get in that hotel room and just like relax because my neck was so tense. And I wasn't even the one driving. Like, I can't imagine.
How did
Travis.
You make it off if they closed it? Like, when I'm just
it
thinking.
Got closed, we were already on it. And it got closed south of us.
Oh, okay.
Northbound, and then north of us southbound. So, but we were in the middle of the two road closure spaces. Yeah, and so we were already there when it got closed.
Okay.
And so we just, I mean.
Yeah, I'm just thinking like, you know, when we drive to Montana or even like when we go to Nebraska.
Yeah.
There would be times the road would be closed for that. And if you're, I mean, you can get stuck.
Yes.
You can get stuck
when,
there.
When we lived in Oakley, we were right on 70 that was going right into Colorado. And sometimes those blizzards would just hit almost unannounced.
That's how this one happened.
And so we had people all the time that would get stuck in the blizzard in Oakley, Kansas. And so where we went to church was a big building that had a huge basement. Mm-hmm. So we'd slot them in and they spent the night in the basement. We fixed sandwiches and all to take to them. So
cool.
it was kind of. Yeah, it was good for those people to have get out of the blizzard.
Somewhere
for sure.
Safe and warm.
Yes,
Travis and I still talk about that trip. Like, the snow was all the way up to the top of our 4-inch lifted expedition to the top of the grill in the front. It was crazy.
That would be one of those trips I would just have to mentally block out.
Yeah, but you know, there was no trees. So there, like, it's like flatlands.
Yeah.
And so there's no windbreak.
Yeah, no block.
Mm-mm. It was wild. Mm-mm. But yeah, I was wondering if you remembered us going to that.
Yes,
to that trip.
I do remember that.
That's a lot of fun. So for our listeners, you may have heard Janice talking about picking cotton.
Yes.
So I was thinking while you're talking about that, I envisioned you going to this little bitty tiny white shiplap church, like a one room church in a little bitty town in Texas. And so
where I was growing up,
yeah,
early Russ, it was a small rural community church. Mm-hmm. And what they actually did, my dad helped with this, they moved a house that needed to be moved from Vernon out into the country, and then they bricked it and made it into a church building.
Aww.
And that's where we were actually married.
I love that. It's so uncommon. Like I Michael's great parents moved a house from Del City to Hera. They don't, do things like that anymore. So that's kind of neat.
Our house that we lived in Vernon, or close to Vernon, we moved from Vernon out into the country, and that's what we did. We remodeled the house that we lived in for 22 years. I still miss that house some, because you just put so much of yourself into it.
Yeah. You get attached to some level.
It was good.
That's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
So tell us a little bit about how your life changed after coming to Hera Church, not necessarily coming to Hera Church, but like you said, you were saved mm-hmm. when you were 12, but you mm-hmm. still felt like there was something that you had to do, and that Richard had kind of tried to help you through that. Like, when did that turn around for you?
Well, going back to when I told you that our first babies were twins, Darren and Brian. Mm-hmm. Brian, early on, was jaundiced, and we thought, well, newborns are jaundiced a lot, but it didn't go away. So we went to the pediatrician, and he was extremely concerned that there were some serious health issues with Brian. So he sent us to KU Med Center. They did surgery. There was something wrong with his liver, and they had hoped that they could go in and just repair it. They'd hoped that the major tube going into the liver was what the issue was, and they could just, replace that, fix it, whatever. It wasn't. That wasn't the case. He didn't have all the network that he needed for the liver to function at all. And so there wasn't anything they could do. He was put on the transplant list, but that was early on, way back then. They didn't do very many of the transplants.
Yeah.
So Brian died when he was 7.5 months old.
Oh, geez.
And that was really a very difficult time for me.
Mm-hmm.
I had lots of questions. I kept asking God, why? I don't understand why. And I could not come up with any reasons. Why would this be happening? I finally had to just, in submission, realize several things. One is that God he knows a whole lot more than I do.
Yeah.
He is the I am, the past, the present, and the future.
Yeah.
And he has a different, our minds can't even wrap around what God's take is on things. And so I knew that God loved Brian more than I loved him, and that he had a place for him in heaven.
Mm-hmm.
And then later on, the answer was nothing more than we live in a fallen world and things like that happen. But through all this process of pondering and wondering, I was brought to my mind that I would have done anything to have saved Brian.
Mm-hmm.
I would have given my life to save him.
For sure.
In fact, I got really ill before he passed away. I think probably from just all the stress, having to be up. He was in a lot of pain a lot of time. So I was up a lot at night, all night long sometimes. And I realized that, how much God loved me, that if I would have given my life to save my son, God gave his son to save my life.
Right.
And God could have stopped it. It was his only son.
Right.
And I can't imagine what it was like for God to look down on his son suffering, but this was his plan so that he could save me.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's probably the beginnings of submitting and realizing that Jesus was my Lord.
So really submission is was the action that turned everything around for you.
Yes. It's been a continual process. I still have areas in my life that I need to make Jesus Lord over. Mm-hmm. It's just part of the transformation process.
Right.
So I can see through the ages. That's been a long time ago. Darren is 52, so it was 52 years ago. But I still see that was the beginning. Mm-hmm. So that's a progression of making Jesus Lord.
It ended up being like a pillar.
Mm-hmm. Yes, absolutely.
It's a pivotal moment.
And coming back to that, as far as the pillar, we have to believe Romans 8:28, where it says God works together for good for those that that love him. Well, that was hard to wrap around for what happened with Brian.
Yeah.
And so sometimes when you're in the middle of things, you just, you can't see it. And sometimes when you get to the other side, you can. I still struggled with that. But when we had Pastor Kevin here, Kevin Daniels, well, let me put a little background information on this. He challenged Shannon Hazen to find a mission locally, nationally, and internationally, to find some missions that we could be in, the church could be involved with. And Shannon brought me in on that, and we prayed and fasted, and the Lord just led us as far as international, to kept bringing up more and more in our spirits, in our minds, in our hearts, the children that were starving in Africa. So we pursued that, and that's when we hooked in with Hope Chest, yeah, and started the drive to support the orphans there. Well, sometime after that, Kevin was actually preaching, I think, on Romans 8:28, about how you can look back on your life and see some of the things that happened that really can be considered, you know, good, because mm-hmm. God's promised that. Right. He works together right. for good. That's yeah. a promise. Yeah. And when he said that, it was just like a light bulb went off, mm-hmm. and it was like, oh, my goodness. This is why I have such a deep desire, such a burning desire. I'm so empathetic and sympathetic with children that are starving. Yeah. Because basically, Brian, without his liver functioning, he could not use the nutrients that right. he needed. Mm. So it was almost
no matter how
a,
much you fed him,
it was like
matter.
A starving process. Mm-hmm. So that was just like an aha moment.
Yeah,
you know,
that's huge.
This is, you know, I can see that the good that came out of that was a desire that the Lord put into me to make a difference for children that are having difficulty with the food.
That reminds me of
He worked through
Genesis 50:20, which is where it's at the very end after. Joseph had been sold into slavery by his family, and then he redeems them out of starvation. Like he's like Pharaoh's top man, and he's like, let me go save my family out of famine. And so he essentially in that moment is who saves them, and he says to them, like, God took what you meant for evil to harm me, and he's using it for good, which is the saving of many lives. Mm-hmm. And so that's what I see in you. Like, you have taken what the world would say that should have destroyed you and Richard and your family, and instead you're using that for good, which is saving the lives of the orphans in Africa.
Yes. Hey, I do want to back up a little, having said that, because you did mention, you know, it all being part of living in a broken world. Mm-hmm. Can you elaborate on that? Because I think that's good stuff for.
Well, I think that when the sin first happened with Adam and Eve, that evil came into the world, and we have to suffer the consequences, you know, regretfully so, of the decision that was made those many, many years ago. Yeah. There's going to be evil around us until we are taken to heaven, and then it'll be the perfect world. But right now, we have to deal with that. There's going to be disease and death. And, you know, before there wasn't even death. There weren't the weeds and the stickers and all that stuff that came into being because of the bad decision of deciding to do what Satan said to do instead of what God said to do. So we will continue to reap what happened as a result of that decision until we get to go home to be with the Lord.
Yeah. I love that, because there are a lot of people who don't understand, like, why did this happen to me? Why did this happen to me? And I remember even talking with our youth girls, and that's when Michael came in and he taught, which you guys can Google, because it's everywhere, the three circle gospel, which is, it piqued my interest when he said that, because that's what it is. And I just remember, like, the innocence of the girls asking, you know, like, well, that, you know, this happened or this happened. Why did it happen? If God is gracious and he's good. Yeah. So coming in and explaining the three, kind of like what you just did, the three circle gospel, and how things are broken. And because of the brokenness in the world, we have all these repercussions from it, but how we can be clothed in Christ and be the difference makers, you know?
Absolutely. It's so sad that some people allow those types of questions to destroy their faith instead of moving closer to God.
It goes to, they don't know what they don't know, because it wasn't anything I knew or could wrap my mind around. You know, like I would, like what you said, God can take a situation like that and make good out of it.
Right.
Like what the enemy would intend to be bad or harmful or destructive, God can turn around and make it good.
Right.
And, I think that's huge. So, you know, like I always had that thought, like, well, it happens for a reason, you know, like I don't know the reason. The Lord does things he does. We're never going to understand how he you know, like why or how he does things, mm-hmm. but just understanding that three circle gospel, kind of like mm-hmm. how you just explained yeah. it, was a big light bulb moment mm-hmm. for me. Like, yeah. oh, and that, you know, totally makes sense.
And I spent yeah. so much time trying to come up with why. I mean, I'm yeah. just consumed with that.
Yeah.
And I used to think, well, that's the first thing I'm going to ask when I get to heaven. Well, no, I'm not. Yeah. I don't. It doesn't matter. Yeah. It doesn't matter now. What matters is that, you know, I'll be with the Lord and yep. Brian will be there. So that's all that matters. The why does not.
Yeah. You know? It's funny to hear people. That's another thing. I'm going to ask this when I get to heaven. Well, one, why do we think we get to ask questions? Yeah.
Or why would you even have a need to ask questions?
I know,
questions.
Like, we'll be in paradise, you guys. Yes. I'm, like, all those questions I thought I had.
Yeah.
Yeah, it just won't matter.
It won't matter.
And who's to say that the Lord doesn't answer them the instant you're you know, up there in heaven with him?
Well, like, and even down here, like, Janice got, maybe not like, well, she understands, she doesn't understand the, you understand why, like how the good came from mm-hmm. it, not like why, mm-hmm. but you see all how the Lord worked through all of that.
Absolutely. He has a plan, not in the moment. To the end.
Yeah. Not mm-hmm. in the very moment, mm-hmm. but afterwards, as you grow yes. and you reflect, mm-hmm. you see where the Lord's hand was.
I think
was
that we need to realize that lots of times we're in the middle of trials mm-hmm. that it's very difficult.
Yeah. It's so
to,
hard
to see how what good can come out of that. Sometimes it does take you getting to the other side
yeah.
and then looking back and see where that can be a pillar,
yeah.
a pillar for you. And as I've told other people recently, you know, if I have a pillar in me, I need to share it because
yeah.
when I share that, it can develop a pillar in the mm-hmm, other person mm-hmm. as well.
So. Absolutely. Well, that's funny mm-hmm. you say that. I listened today to Dustin Hunt's episode.
I need to go listen to it. I'm terrible.
It's really, really good. Is and it? He actually talks about just recently a pillar of faith being built in him. And you don't think about like, I just, you take it for granted, I think, the longer you've walked with the Lord and you have a close relationship with the Lord, that those pillars of faith are there, and that, like, that's why we don't share them. We just mm-hmm. think mm-hmm. they're so, I don't want to say used to it, but they happen, and so you don't think about sharing them. Mm-hmm. But Dustin was talking about how he shared it, and it's when he shared with it. Michael was involved with it. It was with the axe head on Michael's shirt. At the same time that Michael's thinking about the story of Elijah, I mean, Dustin was thinking about the story of Elisha and Elijah and the axe head, and he's like not paying attention to Michael in the conversation that they're having. And then he's like, oh my goodness, I need to pay attention. And so he looks at Michael, and Michael's wearing a shirt that has mm-hmm. Elijah's axe yeah, head on his awesome. Shirt. He's like, oh my goodness, is that Elijah's axe head? And then it ends up that he ends up telling it to Michael, and Michael's like, oh my goodness, this is confirmation. And then he ends up telling it to the elders, and they're like, this is confirmation for us. And he's like, I just shared a pillar of faith, like mm-hmm. and it was a pillar of faith for him, and he had no idea that it was going to impact mm-hmm. the other people mm-hmm. and it wouldn't have if it didn't come yeah. out of his mouth yeah. if he didn't share it.
So I like to think about, you know, the Israelites, whenever, like, when they crossed the Jordan and they took the stones and built them up. Mm-hmm. So that they built a pillar, an actual pillar.
Yeah.
So that from generation to generation, mm-hmm. they'd see that and remember what the Lord had done for them.
Yep.
So, yeah. It's important.
Yes, mm-hmm. absolutely.
I was just reading on that story. It's funny. And I don't know how, but, you know, it's one of those things where you've read it, but then you read it again and something really stands out to you. And it was when they're crossing through the Red Sea. Mm-hmm. And the Egyptians, or I'm rewinding a bit, but it reminded me of this. So the Israelites are here and the Egyptians are coming behind, and God is in a flame or a cloud or something behind like, them to protect them. Mm-hmm. And I was just like, why did I never catch that before? I don't know, when you said that, it made me think of that.
Yeah, it's that's the cool thing about the word being living. Like, you read it and you're like, wait, I've read this passage 25 times, and like, I've never seen that.
Well,
before.
I know. I'm like, I know that I've read that, but just knowing, like, he goes before us, mm-hmm. he parted the Red Sea, and he's behind us, protecting.
Mm-hmm. Rear guard. You know? There's a word, and I, Travis,
there's
a lot.
A scripture that talks
May
about
go
Jesus
before
being
you
a,
and be your rear guard.
I love that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's awesome. That is awesome.
Yeah, and I don't know.
Yeah, I think that's part of why we can consider the word as the living word, mm-hmm. because it, it's always the same.
Yeah.
The truth is the truth.
Yeah.
But the application to always, you is different.
Because our minds are always changing and mm-hmm. we're going, walking through different seasons of life.
Absolutely.
And that's mm-hmm. pretty cool.
It's super neat.
Ah. So what has the Lord been teaching you?
Oh, that's what
the Lord has been teaching me to be more and more submissive to him, to to do everything in word or deed in the name of the Lord.
Amen.
And, no matter what lies ahead of me for my plans for the day, that he needs to be incorporated into that. So, you know, I've struggled with, oh, you know, I've got this, I'm a list person.
I am,
you know,
too. I totally,
I've got all this oriented. list.
Yep.
And then, oh no, she needs me to take her somewhere. My sister needs me to take her somewhere, or I need to fix this lady. I just found out she's just got out of surgery. I need to take a meal to her house. And it's like, oh no, where does that fit into my list? You know, so I really struggle with making sure that my priorities are where they need to be.
Yeah.
That I am more eternally focused than earthly focused.
So, being disrupted.
Yeah, absolutely.
The Lord just showed me something similar. I don't think I've shared it with you either,
Lauren. Not disruptible.
Yeah.
When it came out of my mouth, I was like, that didn't sound right.
They're similar.
Interruptible.
But yesterday while I was in actually it was Tuesday because Travis was in the staff meeting, but while I was in the store, I was getting frustrated because I'm like, Travis is hanging out with his friends every Tuesday and every Thursday. Travis gets to hang out with his friends and I have to be stuck here in the store by myself. And, you know, and sometimes we only have a couple of customers that come in on Tuesday or Thursday mornings before he gets there. And then the Lord's I am like, don't you know the Lord made me to be a servant of his people? And now you put me in the store and there's no people here? Like, how fair is that to me that I need people? And then the Lord, I heard the Lord clearly, he's like, you have obedience to walk out. And the obedience, there's two specific things that he's asked me to do that are not people related. And then it dawned on me, like, just because I'm not serving people, the Lord's people, doesn't mean I shouldn't be doing something to serve the Lord.
Yeah.
Like, I have believed this lie that unless there's a person in front of me to serve, I'm not doing the Lord's work.
Mm-hmm. Well, not only that, but just because you're not physically serving somebody doesn't mean you're not actually serving them.
Well, don't you know, I need the feedback that makes me feel good. And so you have to be in front of me to let me serve you.
You should talk to Michael about what he's just recently walked through.
I can only imagine because he and I are very similar in our shepherdy ways.
Yes, so, very much.
But it has transformed me in that revelation that, oh my goodness, like serving the Lord doesn't always look like serving people in my proximity.
Right.
Like I don't, that's not my only gift
that
I can use to serve the Lord. And you would not believe the things I have gotten done in the last 48 hours.
That's cool.
And after that revelation, which are mechanical and non-people related. They're cold and clinical and gross. But yeah, it's been really good. So I love that.
That's awesome.
By the way, the verse I was talking about is Isaiah 52:12. And it says, but you will not go out in haste, nor will you go as fugitives, for the Lord will go before you, and the God of Israel will be your rear guard.
Mm-hmm.
I like that. Yeah, that's good. One of my favorites. Yep. I like that.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
That's good stuff.
So I think that, you know, the Lord's really been teaching me to depend on him more.
Mm-hmm.
You know, through discipleship, that's one of the things that I've gained is, first of all, to know what true abiding is.
Yeah.
That's when you're discipling. Well, you want to be truly abiding. You've got to be in the Word and listen to what the Lord is telling you. But he's also taught me, you know, that it's not about me. It's not about me.
Yeah.
It's about, you know, service to him, glorifying him. I'm here on earth to glorify the Lord in whatever I do. Yeah.
That's a hard concept for some people, you know, like we're not here for self,
right.
Which is kind of a thing because in society, they're like, well, what can I do to make me happy? Where can I get the next source of gratification? What can I do to make myself feel better?
I think Travis and I were just talking about, I don't know that all people always know that they're self-centered.
Probably
you
not.
You know, like they're completely oblivious.
Well, I mean, think before, you know, before Jesus was Lord.
Yeah.
And all the things, you know, back when before Michael knew Jesus at all, and I had this, you talk about a list, I had these things I needed to do, but it was all about what I needed to get done and what I needed to do and what I needed to do for the kids. And it was all about like me trying to survive where post discipleship, it's like, well, we're not here for self. Mm-hmm. Jehovah Jireh, you know, he's going to provide, he'll take care. And just making sure that as you're living for the Lord, all those other things will fall into place. And and it does make you realize that at some point, without even realizing it, you were so focused on self that your eyes were not lifted up.
Mm-hmm.
But as you walk and you build that relationship with the Lord and your eyes are lifted, then all those things that you needed to take care of, he takes care of.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, I like to think of it. You know, I think the Lord created each person with a hole in their heart. and people choose what they want to put in there.
Yeah,
if you don't, choose Jesus to put in there, you will be constantly seeking happiness through whatever material things, whatever. Mm-hmm. You won't ever find it.
Mine was
until
running.
You fill it up with Jesus.
I would run. Yeah. I'd go run.
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, I'm with the Lord when I go running, which wasn't a lie.
Right.
You know, that would be my time of prayer. Mm-hmm. But I wasn't in the Word, you know. Yeah. Like, that was what I filled my heart with, was running. I loved running.
Well, why would it not follow, like, physically, biologically, as you, when you're born and through the first several years of your life, everything is self-centered. Mm-hmm. Like, it's like how, wanted, like, when you're a baby, mm-hmm. you cry for mm-hmm. for your own needs. And then as you get older, like, you recognize there are other people around you. And so why spiritually would it not follow that it's mm-hmm. exactly the same when you're a spiritual infant? Like, it's what does this do for me? How can this mm-hmm. benefit me? Yeah. You know? Mm-hmm. And then as you grow in that, you recognize that it's not about you.
Yeah. That was one of those aha moments for me where I'm like, I'm not here for me. I'm mm-hmm. not here for you. I'm here for the Lord. So I have to be that vessel that's willing to let him work through me.
Yeah.
That's what we're here for.
And I think as shepherds, it's more difficult because, like, for me, I never recognized that I was being self-centered. I'm like, I'm here for you. I'm here for you. I'm
but
here for you.
But it's feeding a need inside of you.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, I think discipleship
brings
that around. That brings us around. I think discipleship
absolutely
does. To actually lay your life down, and you have to realize that it isn't about you, it is about the Lord.
Yeah.
I think that's one thing that really helped me through, like, my first group that I had. It started out with five ladies and ended up with two. One of them moved out of state. Two of them, just after about 8 months, decided to bow out. Mm-hmm. And I had to realize to not take that personally, mm-hmm. that it was between them and the Lord.
Yep.
Now, I have to share this story, and I have asked permission to do this because I just think it's so beautiful. But one of the ladies in that group that bowed out, she was came to me about a year ago, maybe. She said, I need to talk to you. And I said, okay. She said, I need to come to your house and talk to you. I said, fine. So she came over and she got down on her knees and she asked for forgiveness.
Aww.
And she said she still considered me her spiritual
mom.
You're
gonna make me cry.
And she had been invited into another group and she asked for my blessings.
Aww.
And so I, of course, gave her my blessings. I've always loved her. I've always felt like if someone does drop out of your group, now maybe I've just been blessed. The ones that have, I still loved. And mm-hmm. it wasn't like a bad thing, you know, that we didn't like each other or whatever. I still love them and wanted to be a part of their life. And I feel like as a discipleship leader, that sometimes when that happens, you have to realize that the Lord has allowed you to plant a seed mm-hmm. in that person.
Yeah.
And, Paul says back in 1 Corinthians, 2 mm-hmm. Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, that, 1 Corinthians 3:6, Paul says he planted the seed of Paul's water. But God is the one that gave the increase.
Yep.
And so for each person that I come in contact, whether they stay or don't, I feel like the Lord had a purpose
exactly
for them to
right.
be there and that a seed was planted and that God will make it increase.
That's absolutely
I
just right. feel
I love that story. I actually know her and she has told me that story as well. And which is probably why I'm crying, but because I do love her. And it's super encouraging, you know, two women. I just released my women, by the way, a couple of nights ago. I had four originally, and over the course of the last 8 months, two of them have left.
Mm-hmm.
One of them I do not speak to at all. She just completely walked away from all of us. The other one I do still have a good relationship with. It's just not a good time for her because of all the things going mm-hmm. around and mm-hmm. proximity in her life. But it is encouraging to know that they do turn around, they do come back,
mm-hmm.
And it doesn't Hopefully, have to be me, you know, it doesn't, it's not about me, again.
Yeah. Yeah. But whenever I approached this person about if she was okay with mm-hmm. me sharing this, the response I got was, I'm an open book for the kingdom.
Yep. Mm.
Oh my
and which
goodness.
Is absolutely
yes,
true.
I
conversations with her are joy mm-hmm. every time I have conversations mm-hmm. with her. I love that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love that. And I've seen people walk away and not come back, like completely turn their back, but you've still planted that seed.
That's right. Yes. And you don't know what's down the way.
Right.
And there's a plan. The Lord is the one that has a plan. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Absolutely.
They can't mm-hmm. unknow what they know.
That's
and
exactly right. For sure.
When, it talks about Jesus releasing to their sin. So in hopes that they will find it icky enough that they come back.
That they come back,
That's our prayer.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So what are you reading right now? Like, and kind of go over real quickly what abiding means to you, what it looks like for you.
I get up in the morning and spend time in the scripture, doing the, I use the Blue Letter Bible. Okay. To me, just easier to manipulate. Mm-hmm. And right now I'm in Hebrews. I go slowly. I don't get through very many verses at once.
I think slowly the Lord can use you. I think it's perfect.
Sometimes, you know, it depends on the day. Sometimes I don't spend more than 30 minutes, but sometimes about an hour in abiding and just listening to his voice and going over the scripture, digging into it deeply. And what is the Lord saying to me? What do I see? What attributes do I see of God in the scripture that I'm reading? And that's what abide looks like. It's just a special time between me and the Lord. I will have to brag on my husband a little bit at this time. I need to take a picture because it just, I think it just needs to be a pillar that's passed from one generation to the next. He has a place at the dining room table.
I saw it.
Where he sits out there with his Bible, and he will spend 4 or 5 hours a day in the Word.
I love that. That's
what Michael, he has a spot at the table.
It's actually the same spot at Janice's table.
Is it really?
Yes.
Well, and that's the spring and summer, in the morning before it gets too hot, he's outside on the patio. Yeah. And that's his spot. But he's there forever.
Yeah, I delivered some stuff to Richard and Janice the other day, and he was sitting at the table in same his spot with his notebook and his Bible and his pen.
Did he have his laptop too?
Yeah.
I don't know that he had his laptop.
No, he doesn't have the laptop.
But
no.
That's what I was reminded of when I came to your house on Monday morning. Was it Monday morning? Tuesday morning?
Yeah, it was Monday.
And Michael was sitting there at the table. I'm like, huh. This is the same position Richard is in.
That's
his dining room table when you walk into his
house. I'll have to share that with him. Yeah. That is awesome. That's
pretty funny.
Awesome.
You know, real quick, you know, I was married before, and my ex-husband's father was a pastor at a church. He's aging now, and he doesn't really speak as frequently, but he had a sitting room. And all he did, like, he would spend, and he worked at Tinker full time, but he would spend hours every day in his reading room or in the sitting room in the Word. And I always thought it was the most odd thing that I'd ever Now I'm like, man, how do I get to a space in my life where I can spend hours of day with the Lord?
That reminds me of it.
My husband is full of wisdom.
Yes,
he's a prophet.
Yeah.
I tried to create a room like that.
Yeah.
So our guest room, obviously the Lord moved us to this house. It was Rehoboth space. So we have the guest room that is only used if we have guests, you know, so it's unused a lot of the time. Maybe like, you know, 6 times a year people stay in it. So I thought, okay, I should get a sofa sleeper couch so that when we don't have guests, that room is usable. Otherwise, it feels like wasted space. So I'm like, I'll turn it into a, you know, like a hangout. You can go sit in there and sit with the Lord. We can even do D group in here so the family can have the house. So I order this sofa sleeper that pulls out to a queen size bed. And I kind of started regretting the purchase because sofa sleepers are not cheap, you know? So I'm like, oh, I'm going back and forth, but I don't cancel it. They come to deliver it, and it's too big to fit down the hallway.
Oh, no. Oh my goodness.
Well, there goes my vision for a room like this. Mm-hmm. But also, the Lord was like, you're right. It probably was too much. So I was clear enough.
No sofa sleeper couch for you.
Now the bed is sitting in the garage. So now we have to move the bed back into what would have been my awesome sitting room.
Can you put a recliner in there? Will it fit?
Well, they even said you could put another sofa sleeper in there, but we want it to pull it to a queen size because we have couples that stay. And the whole purpose of it being there was to, you know, like we've had disciples come through for a night.
Yeah.
Rest their head and leave, you know? And we have to have that space.
Yeah, we did that with the Sheehys. Do you know who they are? Jordan and I can't think of her name. This is going to be awful because they're going to listen and they're going to be like,
but do they listen, Lori?
Well, she's Hawaiian. Oh, Kavehi. There you go. Kavehi. Yes. And so, which it's actually really long, but that's what they call it. And they call her Kev. But so Jordan is Jeremy's size. And he's just tall.
Well, people
and,
can't see Jeremy.
I guess you can't see Jeremy. So he's just a big man, like not like crazy big, but him and his wife are too big for Him and his wife are too big for a full size bed that they slept in.
I think
in.
I need to weigh in.
Weigh in. You said weigh in.
I did say weigh in. I am larger than average male.
I don't know. I think maybe you're barely larger than average.
Well, fine. I'll take that.
But still,
I'm just glad my mouth is shut right now.
The full size bed is almost too small for my 16 year old daughter, who is not like. She's a normal 130-pound teenage daughter, you know. So, anyways, I'm just saying. Yes, I totally get the queen size, needing the queen size bed. Yep. I totally get
I tried
that.
To compromise, and Michael's like, nope. Well, this next is the time, reason we have the house.
We're going to send them to Janice and Richard's house.
Yeah, or I'll just send them to your house.
Okay. Okay.
Your bed might not be big enough. We'll just send them to Janice's house.
Yeah.
We've got two extra bedrooms.
See?
Done.
Then they could sleep one in each room if they get mad at each other, like my grandparents used to do.
Perfect.
Yeah.
But what the word says, not to go to bed angry. So.
Oh, yeah.
Hopefully they work that out. Anyway. Yeah. We are at the end of our time.
We are at the end of our time.
It's gone fast.
It has gone fast. Yep. It's good.
It's been really good.
Do I have time to say one more thing?
You do, yes. Go for it.
Okay, you know, as I've gotten older, I'm 74, just turned 74. I've realized that my whole life has got to be centered on glorifying the Lord. And I love the 2 Corinthians 4:16-18. I'm just going to paraphrase where it says, your outer self is wasting away, but inwardly you're renewed day by day. Fix your eyes on the eternal.
Amen.
So I'll just leave that. And So just keep on keeping on.
Yeah. Well, that's perfect, because we usually have, you know, like, do you have one last thing you want to share? So you did great there.
All right.
Yeah. Sure. But now we ask if you will pray us out.
Okay, sure. I'd love to. Dear Lord, thank you so much, Lord, for being our Lord and our Savior, and for loving us so much that you died on the cross for us. And we're so reminded of that this time of the year, Lord. And we thank you so for all that you've done for us, and we thank you for right now being our mediator in heaven. You've lived here on this earth, and you can go before the Father with any of the issues that we have, because you've been here. You know us, and you know what it's like, Lord. I just ask that you will bless the continuation of this podcast, Lord, that the future podcasts, that they will just reach people's hearts, that people will, that this will be a way for people to see who you really are and see the difference that you can make in anyone's life, Lord. They just will turn themselves to you, Lord. Just ask that you continue to bless us and love us. We pray in your most holy name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Janice.
Thank you for hanging out with us.
I enjoyed it.
Thanks for hanging out with us today.
Today.
Guys. Tonight. Gosh. Yeah, huh? Grace and peace.
Gals. Grace
we love
and
you
peace.
Guys.